We're visiting by telephone with Craig Hill, president of Iowa Farm Bureau Federation. Craig, you just finished up your summer policy conference there and wanted to visit with you about some of the main topics of discussion. I guess first question would be, any changes in policy or new direction going forward?
We didn't have any major changes in direction. Of course, you know, we had a really strong attendance this time of year with chopping and some harvesting going on. And we had 96 of our 100 delegates here in attendance, and we had representation from across the state. County presidents were here, our board of directors, and a lot of folks want to talk policy. And of course, this has been generated from the past year of opinionaires being sent out and survey work of our membership, a lot of meetings. So it's kind of a culmination of all that effort. But one of the issues that came up as a new item that we hadn't really put into the resolutions or thought too much about, and that's a school lunch program. I guess there's a new Active Healthy Kid Act that folks are responding to, and it requires restrictive guidelines or restrictive requirements of how much food in terms of calories are served to our students, our kids. And that limit is 750 to 850 calories per meal. There's weekly restrictions. There's restrictions by what variety of food, fruit, vegetable, and so on. And it's really causing a lot of concern. And I think, you know, the concern mostly is kids aren't a simple average. You just can't draw up a simple average for what a kid needs to eat. Some are more active than others. Some are in athletics. Some don't get breakfast, and so then they're restricted at lunchtime by these very rigid standards. And what we understand is the way this program is set up, USDA, you're denied benefits, any benefit to the school from the federal government if you don't abide to these new guidelines.
Yeah, and I think this is all tied into the First Lady's Let's Move effort. I think that was part of these changes. And I think one of the contentious issues with some in the ag community is apparently a reduction in the usage of meat, of protein in those meals.
Well, certainly, and that's a component of it. I understand that you could serve, I think, one or two hamburgers a week. There could be equivalent of one or two hamburgers a week involved in the menu. But, you know, beyond just the protein aspect, you know, every child is different. I don't know how you control this. When I was young, if I knew I was only going to get, 750 calories for lunch, I'd have a Snickers candy bar in my pocket or my backpack, or I'd be looking for, you know, Subway to deliver to the parking lot. I'd sneak out. I don't know how you stop kids from craving more calories than that. And for some others, I don't know how you get enough nutrition to them based on those kind of limits.
Yeah, well, that's an issue I'm sure we're going to hear more about here in the coming weeks. Okay, you also were talking about dredging on the Mississippi River. Tell us about that.
Well, Army Corps of Engineers, they are the ones that are obliged to care for that river and keep it open for traffic, barge traffic. And right now is an opportune time to dredge and to do some cleaning. We've got barges that can't travel up and down the Mississippi today. And so just emphasis should be placed on building these cleaning operations to help navigate through the low water levels on the Mississippi River. We've got fertilizer products that need to be moved up the river and grain and other products to be moved down. And so this was a big issue. We don't want to jeopardize locks and dams and the monies that should be used to maintain those structures. But some additional dredging was requested.
Okay, on the state level, the fuel tax or the user fee increase, that's something you're still pushing for?
We are. We have watched our infrastructure here in Iowa deteriorate over time, roads, bridges. if you don't maintain this, it does impact the economy of the state. And we know that the appropriate way of funding roads would be through a user fee or through a fuel tax. Is perfectly correlated to the amount of wear that you're putting on the road to have a fuel tax as opposed to other forms of funding. So we're requesting, you know, an 8 to 10 cent increase in the fuel tax in Iowa, and that really doesn't put us much higher than the other Midwestern states. I think Illinois might be 50 cents a gallon, and we're currently 19 to 22 cents a gallon with a fuel tax. So that's something we've asked for several years. Every year we wait is a bigger problem the following year, and we need to get on top of this now.
And the governor, I believe, last I heard anyway, had indicated that he might be okay with moving ahead with that in the next legislative session, maybe?
Well, the governor, you know, he was sincere in looking for any waste or any efficiencies that could be gained out of DOT. And so he spent a year, maybe a little longer, just trying to ferret out any way that he could squeeze anything that wasn't warranted within the budget of DOT. And he's done that now. He believes he's going to save $50 or $60 million a year. And that's been done. So with that said, how do we now get the new $215 million that's needed every year to maintain these roads to the degree that we're used to? And it does require some increased revenue, and we just think the fuel tax is the right one. The governor is starting to agree that a user fee or a fuel tax would be the right way to go.
I know there's a lot of details probably to be worked out on something like that as far as the vehicles that would have to pay that user fee. Or
well, the issue around electric cars and hybrid cars, you know, with their very good performance, they're not paying a lot to keep the roads up. That's something the legislature, I think, will have to address. But for our semi-trucks, tractors, trailer rigs, you know, when we're running our pickup trucks on the highway or whatever, you know, the larger vehicles consume more fuel, so they'll be paying more tax. And so we just think it's a fair way. In fact, if you do the math and you're getting 20 miles per gallon with your passenger car and you're driving 10,000 miles per year, a 10-cent increase is only $50 a year. Many people are paying that and more in maintenance on their vehicle because of poor road conditions.
Okay. I know you mentioned some discussion on the renewable fuel standard, too. Quite a contentious issue as well in the ag community.
Well, it is. I don't know that the current situation that we find ourselves in, rationing this crop, is a direct result of exports or of fuel or of, you know, livestock feeding or any other demand. Everybody is trying to figure out how to adjust to this drought and the effects of the drought. So the policy that we have with the RFS is one, when it was designed in 05 and 07, when that bill was amended, it allows for events like this, and there's what we call the RIN or RIN certificates, and they are a ID number, and you're given as a refiner of fuel, a credit for every gallon of ethanol you produce, and there's a trading system, and so they can actually offset the requirement to create ethanol with these certificates. And so it's very easy for the plants to actually reduce their production and reduce the use of corn with the current processes they have in front of them. So let's just do what is already in place. And let's not dig into to make a knee-jerk reaction to a program that seems to be quite successful.
And last but not least, of course, is the Farm Bill and the desire by many to see something done here before September 30th.
We're running out of time on a farm bill. The farm bills are usually over a five-year period of time. The last farm bill was 2008. This one should be implemented in 2012. It expires, actually. The 08 bill expires September 30. There's only 8 business days for Congress, for the House of Representatives, during the month of September. That's all they have scheduled to convene. We just need a little bit of time to get this farm bill through the House. Both the House Ag Committee and the Senate Ag Committee have approved. The full Senate's approved a bill. They just need to be brought together through the House and then signed by the President. And we're asking for a farm bill now.